Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
First Thessalonians, we entitled our series called The Living Hope Series. And Paul was a very amazing person. You know that Paul once was a very jealous church persecutor. He was so jealous about what he believed about the law, that he became a persecutor and persecuted the church. But on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus and he became a believer. And now he is jealous about God. He's passionate about the gospel of grace. So Paul, you know, so fired up. It's good to be fired up. How many of you are fired up? Especially this cold weather. You need to be warm. And Paul was so fired up, he was so aflame with a passion for God, the passion for the Jewish people, you know, those of his own household, those of his own tribe, and those of the nation of Israel, that they will come to this new covenant of grace. I know they have been living under law. Now there is this covenant of grace. And Paul was passionate to bring this news to them. And he went near and he went far. He went everywhere to preach this gospel. And whenever he preached the gospel, he planted churches. So he brought this gospel to this place called Thessalonica. And there he planted a new church, a baby church. In fact, whenever the gospel is preached, many Jews and Gentiles became believers. And they followed Jesus. But whenever the gospel is spread, there is also opposition and hostility and persecution against Paul and against those who believe in Jesus Christ. And the persecution came especially from the Jewish community. So at Thessalonica, Paul, he was forced to leave the city. He just went there, preached, and the church was started. In fact, Paul was only there for 5 to 6 weeks. That's very short, don't you think so? 5 to 6 weeks, he was in Thessalonica, he preached the gospel, the Jews believed, the Gentiles believed, and he started a church. 5 to 6 weeks, very young church. But persecution came. And when persecution came upon him, he has no choice but to leave this young church. And of course, when you leave such a young church, the question that is in the hearts of Paul is, would they survive? Would they be faithful? Would they continue on in his teaching? It must be painful for Paul to preach and see people say, form a young church and have to run away because persecution was upon them. But he prayed. He prayed for them. And he placed his trust and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, who will take care of his church. Few months later, Paul sent Timothy to check on them. You know, and when Timothy went to check on them, these believers, only 5 to 6 weeks of faith. When Timothy checked on them, Timothy reported that the faith they have, the hope they have, the love that they have, that was first taught by Paul, you know, was growing and growing among them. You know, what a witness, what a witness, what a testimony. Can this also be said about us? That we are growing in our faith, in our hope, and in our love. It was a good report. It was a great report, and it was such a wonderful report, but there was one thing that was troubling them. And the thing that was troubling them with this young church in Thessalonica was the timing and the meaning of Jesus' return. They asked, this was the question they asked, what happened to those who died, next PowerPoint, who died before Jesus returned? What happened to those who are alive when Jesus returned? How should believers live? How should you live your life while we are waiting for Jesus' return? And so Paul wrote 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. He wrote this 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and in every chapter, he wants to show to us how to connect our Christian hope, the hope of Jesus' return, with our everyday life. How we connect this Christian hope with our everyday living. Our Christian hope is not a pie in the sky. It's not a wishy-washy expectation, not hopeful, but as sure as the sun rises tomorrow. The hope of his return in the early church is called Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. So the early church, when they greet each other, when they see each other, because they were under tremendous persecution for their faith, when they see each other, they did not greet each other with this word called shalom, means peace. Peace be to you. When they see each other, the only word they could greet each other is the word Maranatha. God, when are you coming? When are you returning? You know, this is a thing that happens around the world when the church is under tremendous persecution. The hope of the believer is the return of what? Of Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. But when you are living in a very comfortable world, when things, in a world where you are living, in a country you are living, where everything is so good, our prayer is, don't come too soon, Lord. There are still many things I want to do. Still many things I have not done. So there was a different concept, a different time frame that the people were living in. When the oppressed believer, when they see each other, they greet each other, Maranatha, because they were looking for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. First and Second Thessalonians is a book that focuses a lot about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, do you look for his return? I do. So these 8 weeks, when we look at these two epistles, the series is Living Hope. And the pastoral team wants to expound the living word of God from these two epistles. These two epistles was written in AD 50. That means more than 2,000 years ago. Can it still speak to us today? Can these two epistles written more than 2,000 years ago still speak to us today? I want you to know, it can. It can. Because the Bible is as new and as powerful and as relevant to our generation and to every generation to come. Should we try to change the Bible to suit our time? Time are different. People are different. No. It should be the Bible changing us. Believe in this book, you have living hope. Believe not in this book, you have no hope. So let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of Thessalonica, Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayer, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Verse 5. For our gospel did not come to you in words only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us, and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became example to all in Macedonia and Achaia, Where am I? Okay, yeah. Who believe? For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. Verse 9. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we have to you, and how you turn to God from either to serve the living God and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you of your words this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would just speak to us powerfully in your words. We ask this in Jesus' name. My first sermon for today is exemplary hope. That our living hope must be a living example in our life. That the hope that we have is more than a feeling, more than a concept, more than a thought, more than a man-made belief. The hope that we have is real. And it must be so real that we live it as an example in our life. Because the church in Thessalonians, this is what Paul said, you have become an example to all believers. Paul said that, look, you have this hope, this faith, and this love in you. You believe in Jesus Christ, and you have lived what you believe as an example to all believers. We know that they were only 5 to 6 weeks old Christian. They have limited knowledge of God. In fact, you know, with just 5 to 6 weeks, if in our own natural mind, we will say, what can he do for them? But the Bible tells us very clearly that when the word came to them, it was with power. That it was with power, the power of the Spirit, and the power of the Spirit birthed in them the word of God, the truth and the reality of God, and it became so deep in them. You see, they became so convicted of who Jesus is. Their conviction is like steel, unmovable, unshakable, unstoppable. And so when Paul was forced to leave, what is going to happen to this 5 to 6 week-old Christian? Well, from what we see, they live their hope boldly, evidently, and powerfully with the limited knowledge of God taught by Apostle Paul. I have discovered it's not how much you know. It's not how much you know. It's living and practicing with what you know. It's making what you know and believing what you know to make it alive in you, to make it real in you. You see, Christianity is not about knowledge. It is about knowledge. There is enough knowledge in this world. You go to Kurong, your pocket will be empty. You go to Google search, you can find anything under the sun about Christianity. There are so much sermon in the YouTube that you can have. It's not about knowledge. Christianity is about this, knowing Jesus Christ and what you know about him, having him in your heart and practicing what you know about him. That's all Christianity is about. And so Paul is saying about these people, you know, that you have known him and you have made him known. You have this hope in you, and you have this hope in you, and you have become the example of hope, the model of hope, the message of hope. People need to see the hope that is in our life. Say amen. Not our Facebook life. I don't have a Facebook. Not our Facebook life. Not our selfie life. Not our Twitter life. Not all the upload photograph. But your life. Your life mourning this hope that you have. This hope that you believe. This hope of glory that lives in here. People need to see the hope that you believe. You living that hope inside out. And so when you look at the church in Thessalonica, they were a great example of living their hope inside out. They did not excuse themselves. Now, they could say, well, you know, I have not enough Bible knowledge. I'm too young in the faith. You know, I don't have Bible school training. I have not attended any great seminar. Paul taught us and he disappeared. He left. No, they saw themselves that I have this truth. We have believed in Jesus Christ. They saw themselves as the church in Thessalonica and the church that belongs to God, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw themselves, we believe in God the Father, God the Son. We believe in God the Holy Spirit. We believe and we see our identity is with the Father and with the Son. That's how they saw themselves. Double blessing, double security, double encouragement. And with this, they can live out their hope in the midst of social, religious, culture, and political indifference. You know, sometimes we think we got it tough. We have a little bit of people who disagree with what we believe, people who are not happy how we see marriage should be. We think that we get it tough. But I want you to know, they got it more difficult and more tough than us. Their life and their family were under persecution and under threat, yet they are example of the living hope to a hopeless and lost world. This is how they are example. They clearly live the hope that they have inside. Inside. Then they live within. And then live their hope outside. That means they live first inside. It must begin from here. And then they live within this four world, this four wall, the church of Jesus Christ, the family of God. Then they live their hope outside. Outside of this four wall. So this morning, how do you live? How you become an example of hope? Starts with what? Starts with inside. Example for Christ. This is what verse 9 and verse 10 say. And how you turn away from idol to serve the living and true God. And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven. Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He's the one who will rescue us from the terror of the coming judgment. You see, the whole world out there, the world looks for outside in. The world looks for an external experience, an external reality to give them internal experience, internal reality and meaning to their life. But we are different, say amen. We live from inside out because we believe that anything of life must begin from where? Inside. Jesus said, unless you are born of what? Born again. Where does it? Is it external or internal? Inside. So we believe as God's people that everything starts from inside. The inside experience, the inside reality. And when we have experienced that, it changed our world. It changed how we see things. It gives meaning to our external world and to our life because we live from inside out with our living hope. So the Thessalonians, they give up what was external. What was external? The idols of their time, the god of their age, the pleasure of their days, the fare and fashion of their generation. They give up all that and see them as nothing in comparison to serve the living and true God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And they waited for Christ, who was raised from the dead. They give up the temporary for the eternal. They give up the false for the real. They give up idols made by human hands and human thought to serve the living and the true God, the creator and the judge of all men. And in doing that, they give up hopelessness for a living hope. That is the example of living hope. In so doing, they have freed themselves from anything that could easily pull them away or distract them from Jesus Christ. Because they are committed to Jesus. They are sold out to Jesus. No other gods except Jesus, both Lord and Savior. You see, they give up idolatry. What is idolatry? Let me tell you what is idolatry. It can be anything, a thought, a priority, an object, a philosophy, a career, a dream, or a person. Anything that steals God's rightful place in your life is an idol. Your children can be your idol. Your career can be your idol. Your success, your possession can be your idol. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21 wrote and warned us about idols. And it's also so relevant for us today. Keep away from anything that might take God's place in your heart. Keep away from idol. Keep away from anything that might take God's first place in your heart. It is so easy that anything that can take first place in your heart, your iPad can take first place in your heart. Your newspaper can take first place in your heart. One thing I fear, and that is computer game. I need to, because I can easily be hooked to it. I can wake up in the morning, first thing, I want to play the game because there is a score there that I need to break. Anything that takes first place in your heart, which is supposed to be God, can be an idol. Come on, can F-O-O-D be an idol? Channel 33 is an idol. You know Channel 33? If you don't know, you are blessed. Channel 33 is 24 hours. It's about all the food in the world. You know, it can be an idol. Anything that first place, take first place. Anything that steals God's time and God's and your devotion for God is an idol. This morning I ask you, who and what take first place in your heart? The power and the reality of your living hope is tied up to what is important and what is valuable to you. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if He is important, He is valuable to you, then He becomes the most important. Or He becomes the secondary. He only had my leftover. What you treasure most? The Bible tells us, where your treasure is, there is where you are. Your heart is. What catches your mind and heart? What is always filling your mind and your heart? Is success and money and having things always fill your mind and heart? It becomes your what? Your idol. Live your life as an example of living hope by living and pleasing only one person, one audience. There's only one person you have to please. Say amen. There's only one audience you have to please. It's not my wife. Say amen. Not my husband. Say amen. It's who? Not my children also. It's who? And also not my boss. It's who? Only one person. Jesus Christ. Set that priority. You set that priority, then you find that all other things will fall in place and in line. So, the example of living hope is living from inside. Jesus is real. Jesus is important. Jesus raised from the dead. And this Jesus is going to return back for who? For me. First thing, the example of living hope. Live from inside. Very important. The second area of example for living hope is within. Example to believers. Here in verse 3 and verse 7. Verse 3, Paul says, as we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deed, and the enduring hope you have become of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, as a result, you have become an example to all the believers. You see, our waiting for Jesus' return is not like waiting for the bus. Most people, while they're waiting for the bus, they will wait and do what? Nothing. Just waiting for the bus. Of course, some, while they are waiting for the bus, they were caught up with their own activities. What do they do? Some of them have an earphone on their ear. Why do they have the earphone on their ear? So that they can shut everybody out. Whether it's playing music or not, as long as I got earphone, people think I'm listening, so everybody say, leave him alone. And some people, while they are waiting for the bus, you can see them messaging on the phone. Some, they use their, I say today phone is so good, anywhere you go, you get so much data, you can do Google search, you know. And some even, better still, there's enough data for them while they are waiting for the bus to watch a movie, a series, you know. Or the occasion that you find some of them, they fall asleep while waiting for the bus. Have you ever got people, while you're sitting on the bus, they're sitting next to you and they fall asleep on your shoulder? How many of you got that experience? I mean, this is what happened while we are waiting for the bus. But we are waiting for Jesus Christ. Say amen. We're not waiting for the bus. When we wait for Jesus Christ, our waiting is not to be passive. Our waiting is to be active. And so when we are waiting, what are we to be active about? We are to be active about our faith, our hope, and our love. This faith, this hope, and this love that is within. I experience this, my faith in Jesus Christ, that He is real, and I put my faith in the living God. This hope that I have, that no matter what I'm going through, He is going to be there to help me. And this love that I have inside. Now, I need to live this, not just inside all the time. I need to live it within. And when Paul talks about within, he's talking about what? The body of Christ, the church, the family of God, where God has put you in. The church is not a place to touch and go, say amen. You see, if you come to church and just touch and go and not connected to the people that is in this house, you miss a very great part of your Christian experience. The church is the place where you experience the body and the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. I mean, Friday, I conducted the funeral of Sister Joyce. Sister Joyce died 101 years old. 3 more weeks, she will be 102. 21st of August. Sister Joyce came to Grace City Church when she was 77 years old. She has been following her friends from one church to another church to another church. And so one day when she came to Grace City Church when she was 77 years old, the friend, after a few months, said, I am leaving. She turned around and tell the friend, look, I don't want to go from church to church. I'm going to stay here. This is going to be my home. She has been with us for 24 years. I want to tell you, 24 years Sister Joyce has been with us. She experienced the faith and the hope and the love of the family of God. She has no children. She was a young widow. Who is her family? Here. When she needs to go to the hospital to have a doctor appointment, who bring her? One people from the church will bring her. Who bring her to Zeno and have fish and chip, Grant and Ivy? Who pick her up every Sunday to come to church? Sister May, Robert, and some other. You see, Sister Joyce have experienced the love, the hope, and the faith that is seen in your life. And this is what it is about, the hope that we have, not just to contain within ourselves, but to share within the family of God. Within the family of God. And I tell you, whenever you serve someone in need that is in this house, whether you give the person a water, a cup of drink, whether you give the person a clothing for the nakedness, or whether you give the person food, or whether you visit a person in the hospital, you are doing it to who? To Jesus Christ. The only time you should ask question is when you visit a person in prison. You want to ask why? Other than that, whatever we do it unto who? Unto Jesus Christ. This is the place that we are able to exercise our faith, our hope, and our love. This is the place where we are able to say your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope. This is the place where we are able to say faithful work, loving deed, and enduring hope. Because I want you to know, the more you practice your love, your hope, and your faith in the house of God, the more is the reality of what you believe. The least you practice, the least what you believe become valuable. You see, Christianity is not something that you learn and sleep within. Christianity is something that you have Christ in you, and all you want to do is to follow the example of Jesus Christ. How many weeks were the church in Thessalonica saved before Paul left? How many weeks? I've been talking to him. How many weeks were they? 5 to 6 weeks. Hey, they don't have the New Testament and the Old Testament. They don't have bookshop. What do they have? They have only this. The apostle always said this: what we see of Jesus, we teach you. And practice what we teach you. When you're not sure how to live your faith, your hope, and your love, look at who? Look at Jesus Christ. And just follow him. And so Paul was saying that, you know, the hope that these people have, they really live it. They really live it in these three powerful excellence, three powerful virtue, three wonderful quality of hope, love, and faith seen in the church family, in the church in Thessalonica. And this is the expression of Christ's character, live in the body of Christ, the living hope we have in him. Because faith calls us to turn to the true and living God. Faith calls us to do work for God and to do it unceasingly and to be faithful in the work we do, because we recognize that faith without work is what? Dead. Then, without hope, without Christ, without hope. But with Christ, there is that hope, the hope of his return. With Christ, there is a joyful endurance of all things. When you're going through difficult things, why are you enduring? Why are you hoping for? You are hoping for the God moment. Say the word God moment. The God moment that steps in. And I do not know when is that God moment for your life. But as long as you hold on to your hope in God, there is that God moment that God will appear. And the Bible says, he will always come in the nick of time, in his time. If you give up hope, then when he comes and step into your situation, you will not be able to receive his wonderful deliverance and the love. Paul used the word labor of love. We don't see Love is a labor. How can love be a labor? When Paul used the word the labor of love, it means tears, blood, and sweat. You know, sometimes when you love people who is very hard to love, it is really the labor of love. It takes a lot out of you. And when Paul used the word the labor of love, he used it in the picture of Jesus Christ. When did Jesus have his sweat, his tears, and his blood? When he was in what? In the garden. In the garden when he wrestled, it was his labor of love for lost people like you and me. Where did Jesus have the labor of love? He was on the cross. So Paul tells us, when come to loving one another, may I encourage you, take the extra mile. Take the second step. Don't stop. Because that labor of love, your faith, your hope, and your love, it really shows that we belong to Jesus, that we are the house of God, we are the family of God, because this family of God is called the house of our faith, the house of our hope, the house of our love. And we cannot celebrate all this, because all this called faith, love, and hope is not seen in the world. A world devour and use and take advantage of each other. But each time when we exercise faith, hope, and love, we are having a different spirit, a different mindset, a different attitude, a different behavior from the world, because it is this that set us apart from the world. That we are His people, living like Jesus Christ. He is our example. This tree, faith, hope, and love, that is in here, is operated by the grace of God. The grace of God flowing in you and through you is not your own. They are His excellence, His virtue, His quality deposited in you by the Holy Spirit. And the depth of your faith, the depth of your hope, your depth of your love depends. How deep is your love? How deep is your hope? How deep is your faith? It depends on one thing. The depth of your obedience and surrender to God. Hello? It doesn't depend on more knowledge. We think more knowledge will do. No. It depends on one thing, yielding and surrender. I don't understand God. Sometimes you ask me to do it, Lord, it looks stupid. But Lord, that depth depends on my surrender, my obedience. Amen. See, the world needs to see the next generation, our grandchildren, our children needs to see the living example of love, hope, and faith among us, among God's people. And I encourage you, we are Grace City Church, we are the family of God. Can I encourage you, the little children and the teenagers that are growing up in this house, some of them may be a little bit challenging as they grow up. But we as a church, we need to just love them. Amen? We need just to be an open arm to love them. Don't judge them. Don't criticize them. Don't say anything about them. Just love them. Because in years to come, when they come back to their sense, they will remember the faith, the love, and the hope that this church, this family of God express. That is very important. Amen. Wow. I ask you, whenever it's possible, express faith, hope, and love. It shines you as God's children. You know, and when you do that, you know, you're going to see great things happening in your life. So, we have this living hope to be an example inside, to be an example within. And now, The last part, to be an example, is outside. Example to unbeliever. So in verse 7 and verse 8, Paul talked about how they have become an example to all. And their example is like God's blowing the trumpet. God blowing the trumpet. Your faith towards God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. You are the message. You know, because of this group of people in Thessalonica, because they live their life in faith, hope, and love, because of the living hope that they have, and they practice what they believe, and they really live the way God wants them to live, the news traveled near and far that a group of idol worshippers became worshippers of the true and living God. That Jesus, who now worshipping Jesus, who's raised from the dead, and because of what they believe, it changed one thing. It changed their life. One of the Bible say, they become the message. You are the message. You are the living epistle. You know, when I think of Sister Joyce, I tell you she's a very powerful message. Messenger of God. You see her? Oh, but do you know that she pray for you and she pray for the church all the time? Quiet as she is. Many years ago, I was told this, Pastor, Sister Joyce is not taking her medicine anymore. I said, why? Is she got no money that she don't want to take her medicine? No. She don't want to live anymore. She wants to go back to be with the Lord. And she's not taking her medicine anymore. She refused to take her medicine. So I look at this sister. I said, don't worry, I'll go and visit her. I went to visit her at her house. I said, Sister Joyce, I heard you're not taking your medicine anymore. He said, yeah, I'm not, because I want to go home. I want to go home to be with the Lord. So I said, Sister Joyce, when the time for you to go home, God will bring you home. But now, we need you. And all of a sudden, her eyes, we need you. I said, yes. Because you're always praying for the church. You're always praying for the pastors. You're always praying for the members. We need your prayer. So we need you to take your medicine so that you can continue to pray. And I tell you, her eyes sparkled. And really, after that, she took her medicine. Many years later, she was still alive. It is important. Why am I talking about this? Yeah, it's important that your life become the message. Your life become the message. And so the Bible tells us that these people live their life and become a message, not only to those who believe in Jesus Christ, their life become a message to those that are also outside. And their life become a message. It's like a trumpet that has been blown. And when the trumpet is blown, the trumpet is clear, it is ringing, it is loud, it is penetrating. Because this trumpet of faith, hope, and love, when you practice it, it impacts other people. It impacts your life. So this trumpet is blowing. And as this trumpet blow, it is so strong a testimony that it penetrates into darkness, bringing light to darkness. Became a voice, a sound to the lost and hopeless. We can say about the testimony church, they did not keep the gospel to themselves. This is where next slide. This is very important, the three I. If they keep what they believe, the gospel to themselves, Jesus and me, in which today, sadly, many messages you see in the YouTube, many of them is about Jesus and me, how I can be more prosper, how I can be more successful, how I can, you know, live a better life. It's all about Jesus and me. If the message becomes Jesus and just you, it's called what? Isolation. Isolation. The gospel And the power of God in your life is not for isolation. Say amen. Or you can move to the other level. It's not about Jesus and me. I'm more generous than that. It's Jesus and us, the church. Oh, we are always together. It's all about us. We are the circle. You know. When that happened, it's called what? Insulation. But the message of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is not for isolation, it's not for insulation, it's for what? Influence. Influence is when you live that message, you live and you practice the message whenever it is possible, whether it's at home, in the church, or in your workplace, or among your friends. You want to become the example of your living hope, the example of faith, the example of love, the example of hope. And when you begin to do that, you are influencing your world for Jesus Christ. Sometimes maybe the devil has bluffed you and said that you don't have a voice. Who wants to listen to you? That is a lie. Because you do have a testimony. You do have a voice. You do have a story. And if you were in the woman Haiti, not just the two men was there, I was also up there videoing it. If you were in the woman Haiti, the message was clearly this. You have a story to tell. Go and what? Tell the story. People need to know your story. People need to know how real Jesus is to you. So you influence your world. Say amen. You influence those people that God brings across your pathway. You influence them with what? With your faith. With your hope. And with your love. So how do I influence them with my faith? You want to influence them with your faith? You influence them with your faith, with your what? With your mouth. Make sure that when you speak, things that are edifying, profitable, and positive. Influence faith with your mouth. How do you influence? By your hope. You know how you influence people? By your hope. One is with the mouth. The other is with the what? With your face. People look at you. Oh, gee, you look so worried, you look so anxious, you look so troubled. What hope is in your face? You must influence people. You want to influence people with hope, it's your face. God, I ask you, lift up my what? Lift up my face, lift up my countenance. You know, no matter what I'm going through, let me lift my head up, looking unto you, for my Redeemer and my help comes from above. Lift up. Your face, smiling. Smiling. Not fearful, not worried, not anxious, not troubled. People see your face, they know what you're going through. And finally, how do you influence with your love? How do you influence your love? With your what? With your hand. With your hand. You know, with your hand. So sometimes this hand may have to take out the pocket, take out the wallet. Sometimes this hand may have to go and do some cooking. Sometimes this hand may have to do something. So these are the way how you influence your world. God, how do I influence the world with my faith? Say the right thing. How do I influence the world with my hope? He have the best smile. Go and look at the mirror every morning. Practice your smile 10 times. Get the best one. Capture it. How do you influence your love? With your hand. See, when God shows you somebody we need, how many of you, honestly, sometimes say, hey, God, this fellow have a need. How many of you have felt that way before? Come on, put up your hand if you have. Come on, put up your hand. Don't be worried. If you have not, I go and pray that God will help you to open your eyes. Because we are supposed to be people whose eyes are open to become the eyes of Jesus. So when God opens your eyes to see someone with a need, it's not for you to go and tell another person, hey, Brother Hoping, that person has a need, you know. I'm telling you. Sister Mallory, that person has a need. I'm telling you. Hey, God Open your eyes to see so that you can use your what? You can use your hand. And if you use your hand more, you find your hand will be what? Stronger. You'll be a strong hand. Amen. So, Paul, in fact, commanded the Thessalonian church to blow the trumpet and keep on blowing the trumpet, because they are not blowing their own trumpet. They are not like the Pharisees blowing trumpet of religiosity and self-righteousness. They are blowing the trumpet of God, the trumpet of their faith, of their hope, and their love. And when they blow the trumpet, they blow it in every opportunity. They blow it every day, because the hopeless world needs to hear you blowing the trumpet of God, the trumpet of living hope, that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. Why they blow the trumpet? This is the key. Their ability to blow the trumpet is simply because they have what? Received the word. How many of you received the word this morning? Come on, put up your hand, you received the word. If you have received the word, you know, now they act on the word. They did not believe the word emotionally. They believe the word in the power of the Spirit. And because they believe the word in the power of the Spirit, something birthed inside them. And when it birthed in them, it changed them, it empowered them to live out their living hope as living example. We need to become an example. Amen? Find somebody and be an example. Find somebody inside here and be an example. Find somebody outside there and be an example. Because I'm telling you, the reality of what you believe is equal to what you share. You realize that? The more you are silent about it, the less it becomes powerful and real inside here. The more you share and talk about it, the greater it becomes inside here. Why don't we pray?
This is the end of the message. We trust you've been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.